Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And it's going to be great. Psalms 145. If you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Psalms 145 says this in verse number 1. I will extol thee. Whenever you study that word out, it just simply means to be uplifted or to exalt. And the psalmist David is saying, I will exalt or I will uplift my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Now look with me back in verse number 3. The beginning of that verse says this, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Go with me now to the book of Hebrews, if you found your place there, chapter 13. And I want to read two verses to you here. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 20 says this, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look at the middle of verse number 20. There's two words that I want you to see. It's the words great shepherd. Psalms 145 says, great is the Lord. And according to Hebrews chapter number 13, we have a great shepherd. I want to preach to you just a little while this morning on our great shepherd. Father, I love you today. I pray that over the next few minutes, Lord, that you would help us to recall the things that we've studied. I pray, God, that it just wouldn't be vain words that would leave from our mouth today. But I pray, God, that every word that is spoken, God, would be directed by you. I pray, God, that we would see you high and mighty lifted up. God, I pray that if there's any here lost, that you would save them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Psalms 145 is a very interesting psalm. I've studied it the past few weeks, and it's one that you'll find that in your Bible. It says just right underneath Psalms 145, David's psalm of praise. It is accredited as a psalm of praise. And matter of fact, from everything that I can study, it is the only one that has that title, that it is David's psalm of praise. Matter of fact, whenever you study the Bible out and you study Psalms out, you'll find that it is the last one that is accredited to David and that David possibly wrote. Some would say this, that it is in the latter years of David's life, and he's writing one last time to us, and here's what he says, I will extol thee, O God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. David is saying that as I look back at my life, I can say simply this, God is worthy of our praise. Matter of fact, this psalm of David mentions, in this psalm, David mentions attributes of God and why we should praise Him. Verse number 3, he deals with His greatness. Verse 8 and 9, he deals with His grace, His goodness, and His compassion. Verse number 11 is His glory and might. Verse 17 is His righteousness and kindness. In verse number 20, he deals with His providential care when you look at it. Whenever you begin looking at this, David not only mentions why we should praise the Lord, But David mentions when we should praise the Lord. Verse number 1 and 2, it's from day to day. Verse 3 through 7, it's from generation to generation. And can I just say this in passing? You should teach your kids, the generation coming after you, to praise the Lord for who He is and for what He's done. From nation to nation in verses number 8 through 13. From need to need in verse 13 through 16. And then also from prayer to prayer in verse 17 through 21. One writer said this of Psalms 45, that it could be labeled as showing our wonderful God. Our wonderful God. What did he say? He talks about this in verses number 1 through 6. There is God's greatness in verse 7 through 10. There is God's goodness in verse 11 through 13. There is God's glory in verse 14 through 17. There's God's government. But in verse 18 through 21, there is God's grace. And can I just say this morning? Look in verse 18. I'll preach in just a second, but look what the Bible said. The Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, whenever I call upon the Lord, He is nigh unto me. What is he showing? He's showing the grace of God in Psalms 145. We do have a gracious God today. Whenever we go to Him in our needs, in our sorrows, in our heartaches, when we have failed God, when we have missed the mark, when we have sinned, aren't you glad that when we call on Him, that He is nigh unto us? Think about this. The first 6 verses deal with the greatness of our God. There is no way, there is no time, there is no words to adequately describe the greatness of our God today. We don't have time. Time would not permit us. We could begin talking about the greatness of God and talk about it until the day that we die, and we would never even begin to scratch the surface of the greatness of our God today. Think about this. David breaks out into a praise when he begins to think about the greatness of God. Think about this, the thoroughness of David's praise in verse 1 and 2. Why he praised God. Look what he said in verse number 1. I will extol thee. Now watch the next 2 words. Watch what he says. My God. David says the thoroughness of my praise is this. Why I praise the Lord? It's because He is my God today. And can I just say something to you today? I'm glad that He's your God today. And I'm glad that He was there for Moses when he parted the Red Sea. I'm glad that He was there for Abraham when he got ready to sacrifice Isaac. I'm glad that He was there for the disciples. I'm glad that as they sing today, that He was there for Mary and Martha whenever Lazarus had died. But hear me and hear me well. I'm glad that God is there for me. I'm glad that whenever I call on Him, I have a direct access into the throne room of God. I don't have to go through anybody else. Boy, I'm glad that He was Grandpa's God. I'm glad that He was Daddy's God. I'm glad that He's Brother Junior Easter's God. But hear me and hear me well. As the youth choir sings, that's my God today. And David says, the reason that I will praise the Lord, I think about Him being personal to me. I think about His holiness, and to think a God that's so holy and a God that's so great and a God that's so awesome would take time to allow me to talk to Him. He's my God. He deals with that. He talks about this, why we praise God, because of Him being our God. But watch this, when we praise God, in verse number 2, every day will I bless thee. David says, every day of my, I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. David says, every day of my life will I praise the Lord. You say, preacher, you don't know what I woke up to today. Can I just tell you probably what you woke up to today? You woke up to grace. You woke up to mercy. You woke up to a God that loved you. You walked in a house of God that's got the Spirit of God moving in it. Every day of our life, we should praise Him. not only why, but when. There's the thoroughness of his praise. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. There's the theme of David's praise in verse number 3 through 6. There's the awesome mystery of God's person in verse number 3. There's the awesome mighty or the awesome might of God's power in verse number 4. There's the awesome majesty of God's purpose in verse number 5. There's the awesome meaning of God's providence in verse number 6. But I just thought I'd throw all that out. Look in verse number 3. Here's what I'm interested in. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. I remember, and some of y'all will remember, Dr. Caudle several years ago. Matter of fact, one of the first times he ever preached here, he preached on Great is the Lord. And he gave the illustration of Tony the Tiger. Y'all remember that? And he'd say, God's just not great. He's great. You know what? When we think about God, that's really what he is. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Well, whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find some of the attributes of God's greatness throughout the Bible. Think about this with me today. There's His great love in Ephesians 2. His great salvation in Hebrews 2. His great high priest in Hebrews 4. He has the great shepherd in Hebrews 13. His great power in Acts 4. His great grace in Acts 4. His great promises in 2 Peter 1. What about Revelation 21? And His great city. His great city. You say, preacher, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying this. We've got a great God today. I want to take the next few weeks and preach a series on our great God. Great is the Lord. Let's look at the great shepherd this morning. I know that I've preached a long time getting to where I'm going. I don't have much left to say, but let me say something about our great shepherd this morning. The Bible said that in Hebrews chapter number 13 that He was our great shepherd today. He was our great shepherd. Matter of fact, there are some things that is mentioned about the shepherd. Think about this. There's the good shepherd who redeems in John 10. Boy, aren't you thankful for the good shepherd that came to where you was at in your lost condition and saw you where you was at, saw the need that you was in, and decided to come to where you was at and redeem you from your sin. Every one of us ought to die and went to hell. Every one of us don't deserve the mercies and the grace of God. But we've got a good shepherd, and that good shepherd redeems today. Not only is there a good shepherd who redeems, but according to 1 Peter chapter number 5, there's the chief shepherd who rewards. There's the chief shepherd who rewards. Here's what I'm interested in, though. I'm interested in the great shepherd of Hebrews chapter number 10. Or Hebrews chapter number 13. Let me show you three things about this great shepherd. A shepherd's very interesting to study. Matter of fact, most of you probably think, well, Brother Jonathan, you should be in Psalms 23. Well, I'm not, okay? You can go home and read it when you get home. But he is the great shepherd today. There's a couple things that I found out about a shepherd. Let me give it to you. Number one, I see the shepherd's devotion. The shepherd's devotion. You say, well, what do you mean by his devotion? There is some things that this great shepherd is devoted to. What is he devoted to? Well, think about this. A shepherd would probably like to sleep in a nice soft bed. Are you with me this morning? Let your mind go back to Bible days. I'm not talking about riding around in the tractor and feeding the hay. I'm talking about the Bible days. What did the shepherd do in that day? The shepherd stayed with the sheep all the time. It didn't matter the condition of the weather. It didn't matter the condition of the terrain. Are you with me? It didn't matter the condition of the sheep. He was devoted to the sheep. Can I just say this to you this morning? We have a great shepherd today, and our great shepherd is devoted to you, and he is devoted to me. Yes, the shepherd would rather stay in the house. Yes, the shepherd would rather eat hot meals with his family at home. But what does the shepherd do? The shepherd goes to where the sheep's at, and the shepherd walks with the sheep. The shepherd sleeps with the sheep. The shepherd's always with the sheep. The shepherd is not worried about his well-being. He is devoted to the sheep because he's a great shepherd. Hear me, some 2,000 years ago, our great shepherd decided that he would leave the very portals of glory and he would come to earth. And he that knew no sin would become sin. He would go to a garden and he would pray this, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He would have the beard plucked from his face. He would be laughed at. He would be spit upon. He would ultimately go to Calvary and would die. Why? Because he was devoted. Our great shepherd this morning has a devotion. Who is he devoted to today? He's devoted to you. He's devoted to you. Hey, if you're in a mess, he's devoted to coming to the mess. Amen. Let's just be real honest. We don't have to walk far down memory lane. There's some sitting in this building today that grew up completely different than I did. I grew up in a Christian home. I don't know what it's like to be drunk. I don't know what it's like to be addicted to dope. Oh, but there's some of you here today that didn't grow up that way. Your life was completely different than mine. But aren't you thankful for the great shepherd that was devoted to coming to where you was at? Oh, yes, the devotion of the shepherd. Number two, not only the devotion of the shepherd. I told you I wouldn't preach long when I got here. Number two, I want you to see this. The direction of the shepherd. The direction of the shepherd. There's something. Have you ever, somebody give me an amen right here, okay? You ever heard somebody preach something and you thought, man, that sounded pretty good, and you went back and taught it. You went back and said it. You really didn't study it. Okay, so I don't nobody get upset with me right here, but I've done the same thing. And here's a statement that has been made that after much study this week, I found out is wrong. Here's a statement that is made. Now don't talk out loud, Dad, okay? Sheep are dumb. They're not. I've done an in-depth study this week. Pushed all the books that I've read before to the side and started studying on it. And here's what I found out about sheep. They're really not dumb. They're not. Matter of fact, sheep's pretty smart from everything I could read. It's not that they're dumb. Watch this. Sheep are very dependent. They're very dependent. They need somebody to guide them. They are dependent upon the direction. Some of y'all will get on board here in just a minute. Of the shepherd. Without him, they go crazy places and do dumb things. Why? Because they're so dependent on their shepherd leading them and guiding them. And as long as they go in the direction of the shepherd, because the shepherd has one thing in mind, that is the well-being of the sheep. And as long as they follow him, as long as they stay close to him, as long as they go in the direction that the shepherd is taking them, guess what? Everything goes just fine for the sheep. They've always got green grass to eat. They've always got cool water to drink. I may be the only one seeing this, Every need that they have is met by their great shepherd. Hear me and hear me well this morning. We are dependent. When it comes to our spiritual life, we can't do this on our own. I can't live it on my own. I can't preach it on my own. Oh, but aren't you thankful that we've got a great shepherd today, that when we don't know what to do and we don't know where to go, he steps in his place and directs us because he is devoted to us. That great shepherd. Well, I see his devotion. I see his direction. And can I just say this, and I'm almost done. But can I just say this? When you mess up, it's because you ain't listening to the shepherd. Because you're not following the shepherd. Are you with me? That's why. It's not his fault. It's our fault. Number one, this great shepherd, David said, great is the Lord. His devotion, his direction. But watch this. I see this great shepherd's number three. I see his defense. I see his defense. Think about this with me. Miss Tanya, you care to start playing softly? That gives people hope. When we think about a shepherd in the Bible, again, our first instance is Psalms 23. That's it, which is what we go to. Our mind goes to Psalms 23. Our mind goes to David, him being a shepherd boy. Our mind goes to every bit of that. You remember a time in David's life that David was keeping the sheep of his father. And there was a lion and a bear that came out against those sheep. And according to the Bible, and can I just say this, I believe it. I believe it. According to the Bible, David killed that lion, and that he slew that lion and that bear. Why? Because they was messing with the sheep. You see, the safety of those sheep was lying in the hand of the shepherd. And I want to give you a practical application. You and I, and can I just say this, that sheep was no match for that lion or for that bear. No day of the week is a sheep going to whoop a lion, okay? Or, but it's just not going to happen. They going to die. That bear's going to have lamb chops that evening for supper. But God placed a shepherd there for the sheep. And because of that, the sheep was kept safe. None of us sitting in this building today is a match for Satan or sin. It's taken down far greater Christians than any of us sitting in this room. You say, you don't know how good of a Christian I am. I know God never said you was a man after his own heart, and he did David. And David messed up. So God knew that sin would destroy our lives. So what did he do? He sent the great shepherd. And when the great shepherd came, what did he do? He became sin. He never committed sin, but he became sin. He that knew no sin became sin. What did Christ do? What did our shepherd do that day? He paid the debt for sin. He took our place. He stood in our gap. He was, watch this, our defense against sin and the wrath of God. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of, In other words, for your sin, death had to come. But aren't you thankful that we had a shepherd that was devoted to us? And when the wrath of sin, hallelujah, when the wrath of sin came, our great shepherd, our great God, our great Lord stood in our place and took our sin for us and took our death for us. Now, hear me in closing. If you're saved and you sin, it's because you choose to sin. Read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't have time to preach it all. But in our defense, somebody steps in our place. It's up to us to look to that shepherd that is devoted to us and directs us to a way of escape in temptation. What is that? That's the defense of the shepherd. He's taking care of us. David said, I've got a great God this morning. Hebrews said, depends on who you think wrote it. Hebrews said this, He is a great shepherd.